The tram brakes squeal like a seagull that's swallowed a harmonica, and I'm standing at the edge of Letna Park, watching the city spread out below me. It's hot up here, even though the sky's been a flat, white sheet all day, and the Vltava looks like a ribbon of dull metal sliding through the heat. I came up here to get away from the pride chaos in the center. Not that I'm avoiding it, but today is day 3, and I needed a moment where the only soundtrack is my own breathing and the distant hum of trams below. Here's the thing about Prague in August. It's not just the tourists. The city is running on its summer holiday timetable until the end of the month, which sounds like a small mercy, but actually means longer waits on everything, metro, trams, buses. And this week, on top of that, the center is a maze of detours. There's track reconstruction between Ujesd and Lazarska that's rerouting about a dozen lines through Narodny Tryda, and then the Lavka Bridge is having its bones reinforced. So trams are off that stretch too, with the 12 crawling around via such of most. I spent 20 minutes this morning just trying to get from Vinohrady to the castle without stepping on 90% of the lines I'd planned. The trams are running, but they're not running where you expect them to. It's like the city's playing a slow game of chess with itself. I brought you along for the walk because I want to show you the castle from a different angle. Everyone, and I mean everyone, does the standard route. Across Charles Bridge with the crowds, up through Mala Strana, and into the castle's main courtyard. Dobry den to the guard in the red and blue, a scramble to catch the noon changing of the guard, a selfie with St. Vitus in the background. And that's fine, it's a great view. But this morning, I took the long way through the back streets of Letna, down the stairs to the river, and then up the old vine-covered path to the castle's southern gardens. The stairs are steep, and the heat was already pressing down by 9, and I was regretting every coffee I've ever drunk. But then I turned a corner, and there it was, the whole silhouette of the castle, spires and domes stacked against that pale sky, with the river curving below. No crowds, no tour groups, just the sound of my own effort and a few pigeons doing their thing. I stopped at the garden's edge to sit on a bench, the one with the peeling green paint that looks like it's been there since the city was a medieval trading post, and sipped a bottle of water I overpaid for at a kiosk. 30 koruny, about $1.50, which I know is a tourist tax, but my feet hurt and the bench was in the shade. And I thought about how different the city is when you stop trying to see the set pieces in order. The old town square, the astronomical clock, the bridge, they're beautiful, but they're also, honestly, a bit like a stage that never stops performing. Up here, the castle is just a building that's been standing for 1,000 years, and the city below is just a place where people live. Which sounds like a platitude, but it's the difference between visiting a city and starting to live in it. After the garden, I stopped by the Prague Castle's main entrance because I'm a sucker for the full experience, and I paid the 60 koruny or so for the basic circuit, just the cathedral and the old royal palace. It's been a while since I've stood in St. Vitus, and the stained glass hits you even on a cloudy day, all that blue and gold flooding the stone. The oohs and ahs from the tour groups buzz around you, but I found a quiet corner near the back and just looked up for a while. I'm not a religious person, but there's something about the scale of a Gothic cathedral that resets your sense of what a human is. You're small, the ceiling is high, and somewhere a bell starts ringing, which is the city's real voice, I think, not the tram brakes. From the castle, I wander down through Mala Strana, all those Baroque palaces and cobblestones that have been polished by a million tourists' feet. It's charming, it really is, but by noon I was hungry and the crowds were thickening, and I had one of those moments where you're surrounded by people and feel completely alone. So I ducked into a side street and found a tiny place with tables spilling onto the pavement, La Boheme Cafe, it was called, which I know sounds like a cliché, but it was just a reasonable espresso, 60 koruny, about $2.50, and a chair that faced the street. I sat there for 20 minutes, watching the flow of humanity pass. A father with a toddler on his shoulders, a pair of nuns, a group of teenagers arguing about something in a language I couldn't place, a woman carrying a bag of apricots that she kept offering to her friend. This is the rhythm of a city in summer, I thought. Not the sights, but the people watching. And that's when I realized what I should really be telling you about. Not the sights, but the practicalities of surviving a week like this. So here's the thing about transport, because I know you're going to be here someday, probably in the summer, and you need to know. Use the PID Lataka app. It's the only system that covers everything: metro, tram, bus, the funicular up Petrin, and the fares are cheaper in the app than at the machines. A 90-minute ticket is 46 koronin, about $2, or you can get a 30-minute one for 36. If you're staying more than a day, a 24-hour pass is 140, but honestly, the monthly pass is 550 koronin, which is about $24, and if you're here for even 10 days, it's a no-brainer. You tap your phone and you're done. No validation, no stress. And check the detours, because today I got a face full of a tram out of service sign and had to walk 6 blocks to another line. The city is a construction site in summer, always has been, always will be. The other practical thing I've been wrestling with is the registration. I'm staying with a friend in Bainohrady for a few weeks, and because I'm here for more than 30 days, I have to report my address at the Department of Asylum and Migration Policy, the old foreign police. I was dreading it, but it turns out it's just a matter of bringing your passport, your rental contract, and a signed confirmation of accommodation, Potvrzini o Ubudovani, they call it, and filling out a form. After the registration errand, I rewarded myself with lunch in Vinohrady at a place called Uglobiko, which is a proper Czech pub, all dark wood, and a menu in Czech and German, which tells you how long they've been serving tourists. I ordered the beef goulash with bread dumplings, hovizi gulas esnedliki, and it was exactly what I needed. Heavy, savory, the kind of food that sticks to your ribs even in July. A bowl and a half liter of pivo, that's about 180 koroni for the meal, around $8 and about 60 koroni, $2.50, for a very cold, very local beer. The place was packed with Czechs, not a selfie stick in sight, and the waitress called me Slekno, even though I'm well past that, which I decided to take as a compliment. This is the thing about Prague. The tourist traps are easy to find, but so are the pubs where the regulars sit at their same table every day. You just have to walk past the American-style burger joints and follow the sound of clinking glasses. In the afternoon, I walked through the Pride setups in the center. Prague Pride officially kicked off today, and the streets around Old Town Square were starting to fill with rainbow flags and people with glitter on their faces. I'm told the big parade is on Saturday, ending at Stvanis Island, which is a new venue this year. It used to be Letna. I'm not here for the parties, but it's impossible to ignore, and actually it's kind of lovely to see the city so relaxed and joyful, especially after the heat of the morning. I stopped at a stall selling klebiki, open-face sandwiches, the classic Czech snack, and had two for about 60 koruny, which is under $3, and stood on a corner eating them and watching the crowd. There was a group of middle-aged women in rainbow t-shirts laughing at a joke I couldn't hear, a man with a dog wearing a tiny pride bandana, and a teenager with a sign that said, "Free hugs in Czech and English." That's the rhythm, I thought. Not the sightseeing checklist, but the humanity. I ended the day back up at Letna, this time at the beer garden under the trees, where the view over the river is the best in the city and the sun. Finally breaking through the clouds around 6, turned everything golden. I bought a half liter for 56 koruny, about $2.50, and found a spot on a bench next to a group of students who were arguing about football, and a couple who were having their first date, I think, because they kept glancing at each other, and then away. The city was laid out below, the castle on the left, the TV tower on the right, and the river splitting it all in half. I thought about how 3 days ago I was getting off a plane at Václav Havel, jet-lagged and full of paperwork, and now I'm sitting here with a beer, watching a city go about its life. It's not my life yet, but it's becoming familiar, and that's the best I can hope for at the start of a journey. Tomorrow, I'm going to figure out the tram to Karlin and maybe check out the market near Holsovice, but tonight, I'm just letting the evening happen, one sip at a time, 1 minute at a time, and the only sound is the clink of glasses and the murmur of 100 conversations in a language I'm slowly learning to understand. That's it for today. If you're here this week, be patient with the trams, use the app, and don't be afraid to wander off the main path. The castle is just as beautiful from a bench in Litna, and the best goulash is on a street you've never heard of. I'll talk to you tomorrow from wherever the windows lead.